Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz, along with Michael Wiseman, as always. A lot to talk about this week. Thanks for joining in. We appreciate everybody for checking us out on BetweenTheRopes.com. A couple quick reminders. Please subscribe to us here on YouTube. Just click the subscribe button. And also, please like us and share our videos. And you can make comments as well. Plus, while we're doing the live broadcast, we do have the chat room going right now, so you can take part in the conversation. You can always follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. And please support us on Patreon as well. As customary, before we go any further, Michael, I know you've been under the weather this past week, but I know you're feeling better now. So that means as we do the broadcast, I'm assuming that you have some kind of adult beverage by your side. Are you dying?
Sorry, I'm feeling human. I don't know if I'm feeling 100% better, but I'm at least feeling human today. Because up until about yesterday, I was still hacking up both of my lungs. I decided to pass on the adult beverage today. I am again sticking with tea this week. I think it's best that I not ingest alcohol while my sinuses are a wreck, but I am doing better and I am alive.
Wow. That's very adult of you.
I mean, that's the thing about it. If we're going to drink adult beverages, we have to make adult decisions sometimes. And, the chemicals in those drugs I was taking to fight the cold probably did worse to me than the beer does. So my body needs a rest anyway.
Well, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say maybe you're going to be mixing the two, which then, you know, as long as you're not, you know, operating heavy machinery, I think you're okay. So in other words, you can do a Between the Ropes broadcast and be fine if you're on medication and alcohol.
Well, heavy machinery. Have you seen these guns right here? These mammoth arms. I mean, this is, you know, heavy machinery all up in here. So.
Yeah, why don't you point those out to Seamus, since he's gone on Twitter and he's made fun of a couple people for their the size of their biceps.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't make fun of mine. I'd make fun of him. So.
Right. Okay. Right. So. By the way,
if you are joining us for the chat, people always ask this. I want to get out of the way. Yeah. The chat room is on YouTube. So if you're watching us on Facebook or on the website, we appreciate it. But you actually have to go to the YouTube page, which you can get to by clicking on the video, and the chat room will be on the right. So we have people in the chat room already. That's how you get to the chat room. You have to be on the actual YouTube video page itself.
Right. So a couple other notes that we wanted to get out of the way too, and then we'll get into the whole Kogan talk. And because we were not able to do a podcast last week to talk about it, and obviously that is a huge story. But we do want to mention a couple of other things real quick. We are going to be covering SummerSlam from Brooklyn. We're going to be making the trip. We're actually going to the NXT show the night before, and we're going to be going to SummerSlam, both of those shows at Barclays. So we'll be covering that from that perspective. And then also we'll be covering the 2K event that's coming up on that Thursday, talking about the upcoming 2K16 video game. More and more characters keep getting released. Obviously, Stone Cold Steve Austin has a big part of that game. Finn Balor is even in that game. There's some other NXT characters and obviously some other people from the main roster. And there's just a lot of things going on with that game. It's always a huge event for 2K. And a lot of people enjoy playing the game. Every year they find more little tweaks that they do with it, and they have other big names. Last year it was Sting. This year it's a big Stone Cold Steve Austin Attitude Era mode. So we'll be covering all of that coming up here at the end of August. So we'll be boots on the ground in Brooklyn covering the 2K game and also SummerSlam and all of the things going on that week.
You got to love the legends they put into these games, like Sting and Stone Cold Steve Austin and Hulk Hogan.
No.
Oh, but last year they even had a whole, 2K15, they released a Hulkamania edition of the game.
That is really a collector's item now, if you were a Hulkamaniac. So let's get into the bad news of the week. And it's obviously a humongous story. And it's one that's hurtful for a lot of people to talk about, but it's a very important one. And obviously that is Hulk Hogan is no longer associated with WWE. They fired him last week, and that is after the comments got released from the sex tape that is out there with Hulk Hogan, But more has come out from those tapes, the lawsuits going on between himself and Gawker over those tapes. But one of the things that has been released since then is transcripts from some of the tapes. And it wasn't just one tape, it was three. And on one of the conversations that he had with someone, he went on a racist tirade. The news got released, and it was a joint investigation by the National Enquirer and RadarOnline.com. And I know a lot of people will say, well, we can't trust those outlets a lot of times. And many times you cannot, because they are salacious. They use the word shocking very liberally. But at the same time, they've broken some major stories too. And this is one that obviously has a lot of teeth to it and is accurate, because WWE parted ways with Hulk Hogan as quickly as they did. So more and more information is coming out about these things. But obviously the big one was he went on a big racist tirade in one of the videos. And also now there's been more that has come out today where he has used gay slurs. So the news is horrible for Hulk Hogan. Like I said, he has been fired from WWE, and rightfully so. And it's a very damaging story in a lot of different ways, from, you know, having somebody that a lot of people look as their icon, as an idol, as somebody that they look up to, and, you know, having these things come out about this person. And then also just in general, that somebody in this day and age, even though this happened about 8 years ago, but somebody would still use language like that, stuff that is so hurtful, so damaging, and is so racist and so out of place in today's culture.
It's sad. And people, you talked about the credibility behind Radar Online. Keep in mind, people, TMZ 5, 6, 7 years ago kind of used some of these same tactics, the same sensationalist headlines to get people's attention. And TMZ, by all accounts, is considered a credible outlet. I mean, I'm not saying I love TMZ, but they are considered a credible outlet this day and age. So for the kind of news we're dealing with, I think it's important that Radar Online did break this story. And there has to be something to it for WWE to react like they did, for Hulk Hogan to graciously react like he did with his tweets and things like that. But man, it's sad. And there are so many different angles we can take on this. I think the first one is that, yes, Hogan said these things and they are inappropriate and offensive. And of course, all this stems from the lawsuit with Gawker, where he sued Gawker over the sex tape. And this was released in the findings. I think part of this, Hulk Hogan's brought on himself. I mean, obviously he brought it on himself by saying these hateful things, and he thought it was a moment of privacy, right? So not that it excuses what he said, he's a public figure, but he said these things in a moment of privacy. And We all say things in private sometimes that maybe we're not ashamed of. We all do things in private sometimes that we're not proud of. There's a little bit of sympathy from that perspective, that things he's doing in private are getting released like this. But on the other hand, Hulk Hogan filed this lawsuit against Gawker over the sex tape. And from where I'm sitting, Hulk Hogan has a tendency to be a little bit lawsuit happy. Every time anybody does anything against him, he wants to file a lawsuit. He tried to sue his ex-wife for defamation of character when she accused him of being gay. And it's just, so some of this, I feel like he's kind of brought upon himself. But I think, you know, the situation is, yes, it happened 8 years ago, but it came out now. And to do nothing, WWE would have looked bad. And everybody associated with him would have looked bad had they not reacted. Yes, it took place 8 years ago, but you got to do something, or basically you're bedfellows with Hulk Hogan and the things he said.
Well, I know a lot of people immediately thought that maybe that before the word had gotten out, when WWE had fired him and was removing everything from their website pertaining to Hulk Hogan, that people were wondering, like, what is this all about? And maybe they thought it was from a interview that he did in 2012 on Sirius XM, where he did use the N-word. But it was more about living down in Miami and growing up or living and being around rappers. And plus, he was also talking about the infamous Booker T incident that happened in WCW about 20 years ago. So that's been out there, and I didn't think it was that, simply because I think WWE knows about that. I'm not saying it was right that he used that language then, but it was known at that time.
And that wasn't an offensive instance of using it either. That was one of those, like a rap artist says it, and he was talking to a morning DJ who uses that same kind of language. There was a different connotation other than calling somebody, as South Park put it, naggers, you know.
But at one point, you know, even during that interview, he did say that he used that word. for a while until some people told him, hey, don't use that word. And, you know, even in the transcript of the sex tape when he used it, and I totally get that people say, like you explained, hey, this is a moment of privacy. It's not fair that it got out. But you know what? He said it. He is a public figure. It got out. I don't know exactly how it got out. And if we find out that Gawker actually released it, they say they didn't. But if they did, because this was supposed to be, you know, under lock and key, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. But regardless, he said it. It's out there now. And, you know, using that kind of language is just, it's so inexcusable. But he not only used the language, but also in the transcript, he said flat out, I am a racist. And he right. said it twice. And I think that is just as bad as actually using the word when it comes to defaming him, when it comes to, you know, all the punishment that has come down on him. It's horrible to use the word, and you can never excuse it. But then to actually explain, hey, I am a racist, and he said it twice, there's no excuse.
And the thing about it too is that we talk about how this was a private moment, and you know, maybe because it was private, it's unfair that it got out. But Hogan has always presented himself since the 80s as a very public figure. And he had his own reality show that chronicled his life in great detail. And so once you start doing that, and that's how you make your living, and that is the precipice upon which you build your character, at that point, the things you say in private do become public. And that's the argument Gawker made when they released the sex tape, whether that was right or not, is that Hogan's whole thing is that he is a public figure, and the things he does in private also affect him publicly. So again, that puts you under the microscope in this really profound way. And those things you say like that, they're going to come back to bite you in the butt. You just can't do it. You just can't do it.
And I know some people have come on defense of Hulk Hogan. There's been a lot of fans, but there's also been some other people. Tito Ortiz came to his defense. Dennis Rodman did. If you want Dennis Rodman coming to your defense.
Or Tito Ortiz, who at one point beat his girlfriend or his wife or whoever. So
Right. Jenna Jameson, who was his wife. Yeah. And the mother of their twins. But what doesn't help Hulk Hogan's argument, and when all this goes down, you would think, okay, lay low. Because don't make it any worse than it already is. But Hogan has gotten on Twitter and I think has made it even worse. Not only has he been retweeting, you know, people that have been supporting him, but he's also gotten caught even on Twitter of there's people that are setting him up.
Right. Like
they're talking about me and a friend, you know, and then he shows a picture of them and a friend and come to find out it's actually soccer players. And Hogan doesn't know this, so he's been retweeting it. Plus, there's been a couple of times where he's thanked people for their support. But he's also said, hey, I'll rise above this. But he's tried to explain himself on at least one occasion. And it does not help him. The most infamous one is he actually put out this tweet last week where he said, biracial President Obama uses N-word, is applauded, and keeps his job. Hulk Hogan uses N-word, is vilified, and loses his job. Now, here's the problem with that. President Obama did use the word. And I'm not going to say it's okay because – you know, he's partially African-American. No, I don't think it's okay for African-Americans even to use the word. Who am I to judge if they're going to? I don't like the word. I've never used it. It's like one of my pet peeves is I do not like that word and I don't like people using it. Okay. President Obama did use it in a podcast that he did with Mark Maron within the past 3 or 4 weeks. And they were talking about racial tension and he used the word, but it's a totally different way that he used it. It was in a totally different context. He wasn't calling anybody that. He was using that word to, here's the way the Washington Post explained it, to communicate a lesson during a frank discussion about race in America. And that's exactly what it was. So it's a totally different way. So you cannot equate the two and say they're on the same level. You just can't. And Hogan he's digging his hole even deeper by doing that. And then today, the comments coming out about some gay slurs that were also used on the tape, and I'm sure there's going to be some more stuff that comes out. Finally, Hogan is smartened up, and he's gotten away from social media. At least I haven't seen anything over the past 24 hours or so, but you know, he just needs to stay away and lay low. I mean, we keep seeing pictures of him going to the gym, you know, so.
Yeah, I think you've kind of touched on this, but context is key. And the context within which Barack Obama said it was very different. He was, like you said, having that very frank discussion on race relations. And that word is an important part of race relations, both how it was used negatively throughout history, how it was kind of reclaimed in a lot of, you know, rap music and things like that for the African-American community to kind of demote some of its power that people had used historically to keep Black people down. But I think the way Hulk Hogan used it was completely indefensible. And so this brings up another point, which is people have pointed to the infamous 2004 clip where Vince McMahon came through and used it in a segment for TV. Was it 04?
I think that sounds right. But yeah, but okay. If anybody hasn't seen it, that was in the prime Mr. McMahon character era, where he was, you know, walking around, you know, all you know, so strange and everything like that. And you could tell he was in character. And right. he went up to John Cena, who at the time was a WWE champion, spinner belt, rapper stuff, you know, was wearing the, NBA, you know, tank tops or whatever, you know, jerseys. And he said, "How's it going, my, you know, blank?" And then John Cena looked at him weird. And nearby, he walked by Booker T and Charmel. And Booker T said, "Tell me he did not just say that." I don't like that Vince did that. I hated it when he did it at the time, and I don't like it now. But at the same time, it's not the same as the way Hogan used it, because Vince was trying to play a character and one that thinks he knows what's cool and he really doesn't, that he's totally out of touch with what is going on in today's social climate. And for that, you know, it's a totally different argument. Does it excuse him using it? No, but it's not the same way in Hogan used it.
He tried to use it as a comedy routine.
Right.
I guess my problem with it is I still think this is the dilemma you face as WWE and as a wrestling company, is that these guys, and this is the argument Vince McMahon made, was they're playing characters, right? Oh, we're all playing characters. This is not us for real. Hulk Hogan used it in his real setting. The problem is, in professional wrestling, these guys are playing characters that are only a few shades away from who they really are for the most part. I'm not saying that Kane is really the demon spawn or whatever, but historically, the best wrestlers, the most effective people who are in the ring selling promos, are guys who are amped up characters of themselves. And Booker T is infamous for being that kind of personality. So you can't hide behind that, guys. And that's part of the problem with Hulk Hogan, is he's a professional wrestler. And while Hulk Hogan might be his character on screen, or Hollywood Hogan might be his character on screen, it is still this mere reflection of himself. It's not like when we'll say, you know, somebody plays Superman on the screen, or Ben Affleck is playing Batman. We obviously know he's not Batman. He still signs autographs as Ben Affleck. But when these guys go to sign autographs, they sign autographs. They don't put down Bryan Danielson. They put down Daniel Bryan. They sign autographs as Sheamus. These characters are so close to who they're playing on screen personality-wise that the things they say on screen can hurt them. And granted, yes, there's a script and all these things are planned out and people know what's going on. But I still think, in context, Vince McMahon was wrong to use that as a comedy segment, again, because it is inappropriate and out of touch. I think grossly out of touch. But you can't – people are bringing this back up, and I don't think it's a big deal. I think reflective-wise, you shouldn't have done it. I don't think it's the same as the Hogan thing, but it does not excuse it being used 12 years ago for him either. I think the bigger concern is this, Brian. We talked a little bit about this off the air. Okay, Hulk Hogan's being vilified for this, rightfully so. It probably hurt his chance at, we talk about his legacy more in a minute, hurt his chance at coming back at WrestleMania and all that kind of stuff. Consider this. Stone Cold Steve Austin, back in 2002, beat his then-wife, Deborah. Now, you don't hear about that anymore.
He pled no contest to a misdemeanor charge of assault stemming from a domestic dispute with his then-wife, Deborah.
Sure.
He got a year's probation, okay. Was ordered to perform 80 hours of community service, and attend a domestic violence counseling course.
Now, back then, I don't think WWE is being publicly traded yet.
Correct. And now, since then, they have a zero tolerance for domestic abuse.
Right. So, context-wise, what Hogan did was bad. What I think Austin did was equally bad. And in fact, violence against a woman, I would argue to a certain extent, is worse than just saying hateful things. Violence against anybody. But nevertheless, the point being is that Austin has recovered. His public image does not harness that anymore. He pled no contest, and there were talks of him coming back to WrestleMania. So part of this is, timing is everything with a PC crisis, a public relations crisis like this. Austin, you don't hear about it anymore. Hogan is in the midst of something that happened 8 years ago because it just came out right now. So that's another interesting angle to look at this from.
Well, look at what happened with the Ultimate Warrior too, because we know not only about the comments that he had made about WWE over the years before he returned to the fold, but also, you know, the comments that he had made talking about, you know, today's society, where he went out of his way to gay bash, and he said some really nasty things about a lot of different people. And yet WWE not only brought him back in the fold, made some money off him, not only because of the Hall of Fame and new merchandise and, you know, the DVD that they put out with him, but also they named an honor after him every year at the Hall of Fame. They have the Warrior Award every year. And because that was something that Ultimate Warrior mentioned in his speech that he would like to see. Now, and then they're going to go forward with that. Obviously, they did this past year with Connor, and now they're doing it going forward. But this was something that I always questioned. And I guess I don't think a lot of people really brought up, like in wrestling, you know, in the wrestling community, some people brought up when Warrior came back. But at the same time, there was a lot of people who were truly excited just to see him back. So it was kind of like, we'll push that aside. We'll forget about that. With the Austin stuff, I don't think it was very well known by a lot of people that that had even occurred. And it never really got brought up, you know, in WWE circles for the most part. And that was something that, hey, it was a misdemeanor, you know, he took care of it pretty quickly, you know, so, and I can't excuse that either. And I would say that that probably is worse than what Hogan did from a standpoint of that's actual violence. That's not just words. I mean, what Hogan did, that's hateful. But, you know, when you talk about domestic abuse, I mean, that's actual violence.
Yes. Yes.
And now, mind you, I don't know the entire story about Austin. I just know he pled to a misdemeanor. I'm not trying to say that any of it's excusable, but I don't know to the severity of it. So it's tough to judge from that standpoint, too.
So here's my question. So they pulled him. They pulled Hogan from the website. They're pulling him from the game. They're pulling this Mattel action figure they had based on his Hollywood NWO character. Mm-hmm. Have they, I heard rumors they had pulled him from the Hall of Fame.
You know what? It's funny. There is differing opinions about there, differing thoughts about that, because if you go to the Hall of Fame page, I believe he is not there. Okay. I think he's gone from the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
But I don't know that as a fact.
Wow. That's a pretty stiff reaction.
Well, I mean, I know some people thought like, well, they're going to move him from the network. They can't scrub him from all that video, but what they are doing is like, the animated, okay, so the old Hulk Hogan, you know, Saturday morning cartoon that was on the network, that's gone.
Wow.
The upcoming Scooby-Doo that they're doing, it had Hulk Hogan in there in a scene, I believe even with Dusty Rhodes, there's something that they each voiced, that's gone. Any of these other projects that has Hogan, that's gone. What's going to be interesting is when that time will come when they're talking about the history of WrestleMania, the history of SummerSlam, the history of WWE, when is it going to be okay to mention Hulk Hogan?
I mean, they're treating this like Chris Benoit level excommunication. And I don't know. And again, timing is everything, but Hogan, he's getting to that age where if they excommunicate him now, it will be a while before he is relevant again to that company.
Well, I don't think it's funny because immediately when you hear the comments, you hear all this going down, you're thinking, Lalo, give it a year, maybe he can come back. But I think with the way that everybody has distanced themselves from him so much and the amount of press that this has gotten, it's going to take more than a year. And I think the game plan, and like I said, he didn't do himself any favors when he went on Twitter. The best thing that he could do is, Lalo, deal with this Gawker lawsuit. Try to get that out of the way. And then try to start repairing the damage. But do it very quietly. Do not try to get press for it. Reach out to some different groups. Talk to them. But insist that you do not want press. And start doing different things like that. So that way, if you do enough of that, at some point you can do something bigger and say, I've already done this. I've done this. I've done this. I'm apologizing in this way. I'm still going to be working with these groups. You know, you have to go above and beyond, and it probably has to be not just a year, it has to be a couple of years from now. But I would say quietly lay the groundwork for repair. And hopefully he has learned from this, and hopefully he doesn't use that language anymore. I think that's one of the important things too, because there's going to be a lot of people that are from that generation that unfortunately, I'm not trying to stereotype everybody from that Hulk Hogan's age, but there are a lot of people that use that language, and it's not excusable for any of them. It's people can say, well, that's a culture of his time. Yeah. But you know what? We all get older. We should all get smarter. We should all learn from past mistakes and know better about things like this. And that's why you still can't excuse it. But I would say that would be the best game plan for Hogan. But I think this is going to be a very long road. It's not going to be something that's just a year. It's going to take years. And maybe it's 2 years. Maybe it's 3 years. Maybe it's 5 or 10 years. It's going to take a long time for him to really get back in the public eye and start earning people's trust back.
Yeah, and I think worst of all is, I mean, he's earned this on himself. He brought this on himself, right? But the idea of a Hogan WrestleMania one more great moment match, that's gone. His legacy is in a certain level of question, and to be probably the greatest influence on sports entertainment or modern professional wrestling of all time, this is a huge loss to the wrestling community as a whole. Especially Hogan was back. He was back in the WWE fold. He was done with TNA. There's a big hole there now that Hogan leaves behind because of something stupid he said. And this lawsuit, man, I'm telling you what, this lawsuit drags out his recovery time. No matter what happens, he can't be quiet because now he's going to court against Gawker that he brought on himself. Gawker brought it on themselves by posting the video. I get that. But Hogan suing brought this up. So does Hogan come back to WWE first, or does another wrestling promotion bring him into the fold beforehand?
I don't think any wrestling organization can use him. He's that toxic. And it's going to be a long time before WWE does it, because, I mean, WWE is in a different mindset, okay? One, they are the brand when it comes to wrestling. And they're a publicly traded company. So they have people to answer to.
Right.
They have relationships with different businesses, different partners. They should be held to a different standard. So it's going to be a long time, and I don't think anybody else is going to touch him. And you know what? Even if another group was willing to bring him in, Hogan should say no. There's no way he should be out in the public eye right now.
I agree.
I mean, the second you do that, I mean, and I know there's still going to be plenty of people that say, I'm still a Hulk Hogan fan. Okay, that's fine. If you want to do that, but at the same time, I mean, what he has done is just so damaging and so hateful. It's so hurtful to so many different people. And this is one of the things we talk about sometimes, where it's great to have your idols. It's great to have your heroes, but sometimes you don't want to know everything about them. And we are in a day and age where we find out so much more information about so many people. And not all of it's going to be good, unfortunately, because there's almost everybody, probably everybody, has their demons. They have their skeletons in the closet. And it's scary when you find out these things.
Couldn't agree more. Friday was a dark day in professional wrestling.
It was hurtful. I mean, even, you know, doing some stuff that I did, just kind of kicking back and thinking about it. Because, I mean, even growing up, I was never like a major Hulkamaniac. But at the same time, as a wrestling fan, there's always a part of you that's going to like Hulk Hogan for the most part. And the funny thing is that, like, even over the last year, I don't know Hulk Hogan. I've had conversations with him twice in person, last year at SummerSlam, and then again just before the season of Tough Enough. And like I said, I don't know a lot about the guy, but he was very outgoing, very honest with me. Even, you know, years ago when he came to TNA and they decided to make Impact go live, I had a conversation with him then too, and he was very honest and forthright with me. And I think that, and I don't know this, I don't know if he still uses that language or not. I think with everything that's gone on with Hulk Hogan over the past few years, between his son, his divorce, this sex tape, just so many things have gone on with him. I think he's tried to change. I think he's tried to be a different man. But the problem is, your past is going to haunt you when things like this happen. And it's haunting him. You know, I mean, some people even wondered if he'd be able to come back from what happened with his son in that in the car accident, where he was, you know, he got caught having a conversation with the son while the son was behind bars talking about, we're going to do this reality show, and that, you know, just bad mouthing the person that got killed in that car wreck and things. I mean, that was horrible, just horrible things. I don't know if a lot of people really realized that that had happened, but this is something that's just gotten so much media attention. Hey, you know what? This is what happens. People love taking down big stars, especially when you give them a reason to, and he gave them a reason to. The problem is people love to see a guy get built back up as well, but this is going to be much harder to come back from.
And some of those things that happened were during that TNA period. The problem is, too, for Hogan, is that he's been on a much bigger stage now for the last couple of years. Yes, he was in TNA for that 3-year period or however long it was. But when you're in WWE, you are part of a publicly traded company that is worldwide, that is huge, that is a known brand. When you're on TV every week, when you're making appearances at WrestleMania, that is a different ballgame than being on TNA, who draws a 1 in the ratings and sells some pay-per-views occasionally. So I think part of it is, too, is that if this had come out 3 years ago, again, timing, his reputation might could recover. I think now we've lost our shot at Hogan having another WrestleMania moment. You see all the things that he's done with the network in recent years. I was rewatching some of those Monday Night Wars episodes, finishing it up. He's all over that, right? He is all over it. And now every time you see it, there's a little bit of, yeah, but you're kind of a racist, Hogan, whenever you see him saying his pieces about that era on the show. So it's, yeah, dark day.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, and then, you know, he's gone from Tough Enough as well. Tough Enough is, you know, happening tonight. And we will see exactly who they're going to put as a judge. If you had to guess, who do you think is going to be a judge?
Cesaro, right? He's coming Tough Enough tonight, right?
He's coming there, but he's not going to be a judge.
I like your suggestion, Kevin Nash. Let's bring him in. He can tell those young guns how they can go in and make as much money as possible and screw the system. And
here's why I mentioned Kevin Nash, okay? Because, well, let's go through the candidates real quick, okay? Ric Flair, I don't think WWE wants to put him on live TV. Bret Hart, great legend. I just don't know if he's going to care enough, because I think he probably is not somebody that likes Tough Enough. Plus, right. I don't think he's going to be the personality that they want for that show. Shawn Michaels, I think, would be great, but I don't think Shawn is interested in doing it. I don't know if he's available. Steve Austin, I was thinking, well, he's doing his TV show in Texas. No, he's not. He just wrapped up yesterday. But I think Austin's almost too high profile for that. So who do you put in there? And I mentioned Nash only because Kevin Nash just got put into the Hall of Fame and lives here in Florida. He lives probably about an hour or so from Full Sail University, where they actually taped Tough Enough. So he would make sense from that standpoint. They've also talked about doing like a rotating thing where it could be one of the trainers on the show each week, or I know it's been brought up, maybe Chris Jericho would move over to being a judge. Maybe The Miz would then host the show. I don't know if they want to do that, simply because they always advertise this as Chris Jericho being the host of the show. So
right.
There's a lot of different things. We'll find out tonight. I have no clue what they're going to do.
I mean, I think somebody like, I know they're hesitant to put Ric Flair on TV. I think that's a great fit, especially with the kind of legend you were talking about replacing with Hulk Hogan. I do not like the idea of Kevin Nash, only because yeah, he kind of made his name in WWE, but he doesn't seem like the kind of guy you really put out there to mentor the youngins. You know, I think Bret Hart could be a good fit. I agree. Shawn Michaels would be great. It's not going to happen. Austin would be a good way to generate a good buzz. But then again, the show's going to feel like it's missing something without him actually being the host, because he was such a great host. Also, this whole season of Tough Enough has been screwball enough anyway that I don't know. I've kind of lost some of my interest in it to begin with.
Here's the other thing too. You got to find somebody that's actually been watching the show.
Sure.
Knows what's going on. So that could be a problem too. Yeah. I mean, Mick Foley's another guy, but Mick badmouthed the show last week, said he wasn't going to watch anymore. After Patrick got, you know, voted off the show. And then went on Twitter and said, well, I guess I could be a judge, but some things would have to change. And he wants like the trainers to have more of a say in some things. So I don't know if they want to put Mick in that role. I could be wrong, but.
You mentioned Bret Hart and Daniel Bryan. And for those who didn't catch it, you did an interview last week with Daniel Bryan and asked him some pretty hard-hitting questions. I wanted to bring up something about that interview. Back whenever Bret Hart...
You actually listened to my interview with Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, man. I listen to your stuff sometimes, you know?
Oh, sometimes. That's all right. I'll take it.
Sport between the ropes, right? That's between there the ropes. I'm wearing my swag today. Back whenever Bret Hart commented on Daniel Bryan's injury and said he'll never wrestle again in his Canadian voice that he uses, I was the first one to say, Bret Hart doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. So quit putting so much stock in what Bret Hart said, people. And everybody's like, nah, Bret Hart's a legend and Bret Hart's Canadian and A and Mounties and stuff. Okay, people, guess what Daniel Bryan said?
I'm the Mountie.
Right. Daniel Bryan supported me and echoed what I said whenever I said that Bret Hart didn't know what he was talking about and he was speaking out of turn. Daniel Bryan essentially said the same thing that, well, Bret Hart doesn't exactly know what he's talking about, and he's got his own injury and that kind of thing. So you people need to learn, know your roles, and shut your mouths, okay?
Now, here's another thing about Daniel Bryan, okay? So he has admitted that he suffered a concussion on the European tour following WrestleMania. So basically, the symptoms lingered because he went through the concussion test and everything. Normally the symptoms will go away within like a day, a couple days, but I guess his hung around for a couple of weeks. So since then he has gotten checked out. He says that his head feels good. He went to his own doctor. He went to the doctor that I believe works for the Arizona Cardinals and helped out with the Super Bowl. And he got cleared by that doctor. Plus he says, my neck feels great. Shoulder feels great. My arm feels great. I feel great. I'm ready to get back in the ring. One problem, though. WWE is ultra careful when it comes to concussions. So they said, well, we're going to put you through our doctor. And their doctor says, I'm not clearing you yet. Now, I don't know if that is from the doctor or if that is something from WWE just trying to play it safe. Daniel won't flat out say it, but... he tends to think they're being overprotective. And since his doctor has cleared him and it's a real doctor and it's somebody that's worked with plenty of concussions being around the NFL, that should be good enough. And WWE is just doing this just to protect their own butts. And he even said to me, he thought he was going to be back by SummerSlam, but now he thinks the plan could be he won't be back to the Royal Rumble. Now, mind you, the Royal Rumble would be a horrible time for him to come back. Simply because of what's happened the last 2 years.
Unless he wins it.
But now, I mean, this is becoming a little thing where he's under contract for 3 more years, but he says, I'm going to wrestle again. And if it means that he can't wrestle for WWE again, he's going to wrestle. I mean, he's hell-bent on getting back in the ring. He says, this is what I do. This is what I love. This is what I want to continue to do. So he's going to get back in the ring. It's just we don't know when it's going to be with WWE. I don't think it's ever going to come to a point where he says, clear me or release me. But let me tell you something. That would be damn interesting if that happened. I don't think it's going to come to that, but it'd be incredible. But he's going to get back in the ring. And I did ask him one other thing about, have you won over Vince McMahon yet? Because he talks about that in the book a little bit. And he says, I have a great relationship with him, but I don't think I want him over. And he goes, but I totally understand that. I'm totally different than anything that they've ever pushed as a main event guy, just because of my height, my look, everything that goes into that. I'm not a great talker. He says, I don't blame him from that standpoint. And he doesn't think he's ever going to main event WrestleMania again. But he says he has a great relationship with Vince.
You know, I mean, I just imagine how that goes. Daniel Bryan comes in. He says, listen, Vince, I've been cleared. I got my doctor to say that I don't have a concussion anymore. And Vince goes, kid, you're just not quite ready yet. You're just not quite what we're looking for here. Swipe left, man. You know, we need somebody with a little more experience under their belt. You're just a little bit small for a swipe left. So, yeah.
That's, I don't even know where you're going there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I get what Daniel's talking about.
You got something. You got some big cojones on you.
I asked him too about the injuries, and he goes, hey, that's another reason why maybe they shouldn't trust me, because he goes, but I'm not injury prone. He hates it when people say he's injury prone. He goes, guess what? John Cena's had more major injuries than I have had. problem is I had two major injuries back to back. That does not make me injury prone. So it's just the timing of it and the stage that I'm on. So it's all curious. We'll see when he comes back. If I had to guess, I'd say he's back in October or November. And that's just a guess. I think he'll be back before the end of the year.
So Francis is in the chat room dying to know why you didn't ask Daniel Bryan about his infamous lumberjack scene on Total Divas with John Cena. That's a good question. Why did you not ask him about that?
Because I had to ask him about video tonight, tan today, which I butchered when I talked to him. I had to talk to him about that job, which is a real job that he had living up in Washington while working on the Indies. So that seemed more important to me at the time than talking about chopping down some wood with John Cena and Total Divas.
Well, you have your priorities, and maybe you picked wrong, and that's okay.
Have you ever heard of a place called Video Tonight, Tan Today?
No, and I'm looking for it on Google right now, and I can't. It's not showing up in my Googleverse.
I think it closed down, but there is an article from the guy that created it on Google. I found it. It's fantastic.
Dan Weber.
Yeah, Dan Weber.
Yeah, okay. What is okay. Oh, this guy looks nice. He looks like he could be Daniel Bryan's friend.
By the way, I did bring up the whole supposed interview that said Daniel Bryan had admitted that he was going to retire, that he wasn't gonna wrestle anymore. And he said that he didn't know about that, that Bree called him up and said, "Did you say something in an interview?" And he's like, "No." And he instantly thought like WWE put out a statement saying that he was retiring without consulting him.
Yes. And that was interesting.
Yeah. And he was not too thrilled about that, but he said the whole interview was fake. It was from like Aberdeen, Washington. He was like, how come nobody called the radio station to check to see if it was a legit interview? Cause the interview never happened.
I think it's interesting that his initial reaction was, and him and Bree both thought, oh my God, WWE put out this statement. Like that's, when you're worried about WWE putting out something behind your back like that, that's very telling.
In other words, he is of the belief that WWE would not mind if they said, if he said, you know, I think I'm going to call it a career and I don't want to risk any further injury because I have had an issue of a problem with concussions. Yeah. So for their sake of mind, it would be like, phew, man, let's play it safe here, you know, and we'll feel a lot better about it because we have this concussion lawsuit going on from superstars of the past, and we don't want anybody else getting further injured, and maybe you're a liability to us at this point. So, he's not retiring. He's not retiring. So let's talk a little Raw.
Let's do it.
Woohoo!
Let's do it. Woo!
Okay. I thought Raw was a really good show. I think you thought it was a good show, but I'm going to give you the floor here because there was something that happened on this show that royally pissed you off.
It's always something, man. There's always something. So I really dug that main event. It was fantastic. I mean, we're talking 5-star level match, I think. We're talking
not four. Not three.
Not we're four times.
Five.
Four
stars. Five.
5-star. I don't
use that language anymore on WWE shows. I mean, I saw that script of no-nos. And it said, you cannot say star matches, which is funny because somebody linked to an interview of Shawn Michaels in his feud with Hulk Hogan from years ago. And he flat out said that he has 5-star matches in this interview.
Yeah. So the match was great. And, people say stuff like match of the year. This would be on that list of best matches I've seen this year. Okay. Fantastic. However, how stupid do you have to be WWE and give away what looks like is going to be your SummerSlam main event 3 weeks early?
Co-main event. We already have a main event. It's the co-main event.
I'm just saying, this is going to be your big title match for SummerSlam, correct? Okay, WWE World Heavyweight Championship match, and you give it away, a freaking awesome match, and you give it away on Raw 3 weeks ahead of time? Really? Not only that, but you have your champion, your reigning, defending WWE World Heavyweight Champion take the pin cleanly. Why? Why would you do all of that? Okay,
Mike, I don't know if you realize this, but that wasn't supposed to happen. That was a huge upset because John Cena even said that in a promo leading up to it, that he said it would be what an upset if he could beat Seth Rollins, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
John Cena does not upset people. John Cena has beaten everybody, okay? John Cena, listen, it is never an underdog victory for John Cena. And they treated it like that last night, like, well, he really overcame the odds. No, listen, everybody and their grandma at this point has beaten Seth Rollins. That's kind of his thing, right? He's the champion, even everybody beats him. But you did not have to have him lose. I'm sorry, he did not take a pinfall. He submitted. Even worse, he tapped out. God, you make your champion look so weak. You make John Cena. John Cena doesn't need to look strong. He already looks strong. He's got muscles come out of his muscles. He's like a genetic freak, okay? So,
well, now he's got a nose that looks like a question mark.
Well, I hope his participation at SummerSlam was a question mark. God. Ah, bah, ah.
Well, let me say this one thing, okay, about Rollins and, and him tapping out. You can't explain that by saying, this match meant nothing to me. I'm the world champion. So, fine. I tapped out. You know, what do I care about your U.S. title? Now, you can also make the argument you've put a lot of work into building up that U.S. title to just besmirch it, you know, by doing something like that. I get where you're coming from. And for the most part, I do agree that they should have done this match. But, and I was surprised that they're putting the match together. But you know what? If they have another really good match like this, and probably will be given even more time, and I think could have an even better match at SummerSlam, all will be forgiven.
I disagree. So my problem with it is this. This was the first time that they've had this level of a match, okay? So, and I loved the match. So my problem with it is, in 3 weeks, I'm going to have this match still in the back of my mind, comparing it to whatever they do next. It's kind of like the problem that John Cena, Kevin Owens Part 2 had, is that it's the same thing, and we're seeing it again, and they've already had a really great match. So, you know, it just sets up bad expectations. Whenever it's fresh and original and new for the first time, I think you're building on something. But the second time around, so close together, it ruins it. Also, you mentioned the titles. At the end of the night, in my mind, the United States Championship is the most important belt in the company. It's the one that John Cena, who has beaten everybody and their grandmothers, held up above his head. And it's the one that they were praising as the lights went out. And John Cena makes that title. So I don't know. I love the match, but the context of all of this is really bothering me a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I mean, let's give a lot of credit to Cena. Okay, because so he got smashed in the face by a high knee from Seth Rollins in the middle of this match, which at first I didn't even notice. And then they kept replaying it so many different times that, I mean, he obviously fractured his nose. And like I said, it looked like a question mark hanging over his right cheek more than something like a normal nose looks like by the end of this. But the doctor immediately wanted to check him out. And Cena was like, no, I got it. And then he did like another move. And then the doctor came, wiped off his nose. And Cena's like, I'm fine. Even though his nostrils were as big as a bull's by that point with blood pouring out. And then another time of the match, the doctor checked and just wiped off the blood from his face. But Cena kept going. He didn't stop. Even after the match, you could hear him out like, I'm okay. So I think it wasn't too long ago. I think he broke his nose in another match too, but not to this degree. I mean, this was bad. Ugh. This was smashed, man. And give John Cena a lot of credit for not only continuing with that match, but still having a really, really strong performance in the match. You can't question the guy's toughness, the guy's dedication. He wants to go out there and do the best he can, and that's not going to stop him.
Well, and I think that's one of the things. So I have issues creatively with what they're doing here and how they're building their second biggest pay-per-view of the year's main event. But you're right. John Cena, this has been a legacy year for John Cena. We talk about all the big matches he's had in recent years against Brock Lesnar, twice against The Rock, that great feud he had with Edge. You go back to his earlier days, but this has been one of those years that you look back on and say, wow, John Cena has stolen the show with everybody he's been paired up against. And I loved his feud with CM Punk. And the biggest knock everybody's had against John Cena for the longest time is John Cena can't wrestle. Five moves of doom. You can't see him do anything other than a shoulder tackle, right? But, okay, this year he has proven that he's got more in his game, that he can pair up a lot of great wrestlers. And that's what I've always said about John Cena. He can wrestle with great wrestlers. Don't put him in the ring with Big Show. That crap I don't want to see. Put him against guys that know what they're doing. So hats off to John Cena, who continues to amaze me. His work rate is incredible. He's done wonders for the United States Championship. I just don't – they had something really special going with this U.S. title open defense. And I feel like in a matter of about 3 weeks, they've really gone off the rails with it. Because instead of letting it be this upper mid-card thing that elevates new stars and elevates that belt and lets John Cena get a really strong presence – in that mid-card area, they basically said, no, we're using this to, again, leverage John Cena by putting him into the main event like he's earned his way back up. John Cena can challenge for the title at any given point. He doesn't need to earn that spot.
He's an underdog, Michael. Come on, he's only the U.S. champion.
I feel like they're losing some of that goodwill they've been building on since WrestleMania by doing it this way.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird way. And I thought that he might still drop the U.S. title before SummerSlam.
True.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, but they have invested a lot into doing what they've done with that championship. And I hope that they don't lose all that prestige that they've given it again, you know. So, but we'll see. But, I mean, somebody brought this question to me earlier today. Is not counting New Japan, okay, just counting United States. Is John Cena the wrestler of the year so far in 2015?
Yes, without a doubt.
I had to think about it, but the more I thought about it, I was like, he might be.
I mean, so you can make the argument for Seth
Rollins. If you start counting a lot of the indies, the only other person I would think of that's from the U.S. would be Roderick Strong.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Roderick Strong, great talent. He hasn't delivered on this. So part of being wrestler of the year is delivering on the right stage, in my opinion, too. I mean, I think there is a strong argument to be made for Indie Wrestler of the Year, but you also go out there in front of 50,000, 60,000 people at different stages and pair up with new people. John Cena has done that. And I think, you know, Seth Rollins has been great this year. When they've shown us Cesaro, he's been pretty good. Kevin Owens had a freaking fantastic debut. The guys in NXT are always working their rear ends off, but right now, July 28th, John Cena has my vote for Wrestler of the Year.
It's hard not to say that so far, considering the great matches that he's had. So let's talk a little bit about the rest of Raw. Like I said, I thought it was a good show overall for a couple of reasons. Built up to SummerSlam, did all the right things that they need to do this far out from SummerSlam. Some nice video packages that they threw in there. I thought overall they had some really good wrestling too, because we talk about the Cena Rollins match. I think Orton and Kevin Owens had a really good match. Obviously, got interrupted by Sheamus. I thought they did some good stuff at the Divas this week. One of the main things I had a problem with in the past was just, you know, they were convoluting it. You know, they've got these three factions of three women. I thought it was making them pretty messy, and then they were putting people on commentary. They got away from that this week. They had a nice feature package on Sasha Banks to explain who she is, what she's about. Then she goes out there and she wins a really good match against Paige that went about 14 minutes, which is almost unheard of when it comes to women on Raw. And then later on, they had a tag match, which, you know, it was about 6 minutes, but I think it accomplished everything it needed to. I thought it was a good, solid match with Charlotte and Becky Lynch beating Alicia Fox and Nikki Bella.
Why was the crowd not into that first match anymore? Because that first match was really good. It was NXT level good.
I think that the WWE Raw audience is so different from NXT that they're so used to looking at women's wrestling in a certain light that they don't have expectations. Okay. And they didn't even think that match was going to go that long. Because remember, that audience is pretty different than NXT. NXT is pretty diehard, or people that are really in the know, or just, you know, like that style, like indies a little bit more. It's kind of more of a cult thing. So I don't think that, you know, that the people that watch Raw, there's only a smaller percentage that really watch NXT on a regular basis. And I don't think they know what to expect.
Yeah, I guess it just, there was, they were trying to draw so much out of this. And this has been one of those first really lengthy matches. You pointed out how long it went that they've given Divas on Raw. And Sasha Banks was tearing it up. Paige was tearing it up. I just was like, I kept on being like, come on, guys, stand up. They're doing some really great spots. Right. See, we're building to something.
WWE did it the right way. They simpled it down this week. The two of the women that just got called up, they got some submission wins. You know, so I like what they're doing this week. I mean, before, like I said, I thought it got muddied up. But this week, they made it so much simpler and it seemed so much better that and everybody looked good. I don't think anybody looked bad. By the way, it looks like Alicia Fox suffered a mild concussion in her match. So we'll see what happens with her going forward. One of the things I didn't mention.
There to the Divas Division.
Well, I mentioned
Alicia Fox, but
I like Alicia. When we talk about the whole Orton-Sheamus match or Orton-Kevin Owens match and Sheamus got involved, I didn't even mention Cesaro, who was a house of fire as he hit the ring, man. Have you ever seen that kind of excitement out of Cesaro before in the WWE? Like, he hit the ring, man, and it was he did a dive over the top rope, and it's like, whoa, what's going on here?
He's stepping up his game, buddy. He's, you know, going to bring back that Antonio name. That's what he's doing.
I don't know what name you're talking about.
Antonio Cesaro and his five languages.
That's too Italian, man. Come on, we can't have another Italian on this show. He's Swiss.
Yeah, right, right.
But let me ask you about this one too, okay? What did you think about the whole Rusev, Summer Rae, Lana segment?
Okay. I like what they're trying to do. And it was fine. It didn't engage me that much personally. I don't think it was a terrible segment, but I did not feel that engaged by it. How about that? I think it was a little bit hokey. I guess that's kind of my problem with it, was the fish thing was a little bit hokey.
I think they made the best of it what they could. So it wasn't horrible, but at the same time, I don't like what they've done with Rusev overall, because he was this foreign monster that came in, you know, and just how much they've lessened him, you know, especially since WrestleMania. So that's kind of disappointing. You're seeing the kind of Americanization of Lana now, in that if you noticed, her hair wasn't a bun. Her hair was very long and straight and just had the one braid in it. And she was, I thought she was going to once again drop that accent, the Russian accent. She came close last night.
Yep.
You know, they just had this wacky segment where Rusev is still trying to put down women, but at the same time says, oh, you know, I'm smitten for Summer, and gave her a puppy named Dog Ziggler because it reminds him of Dolph. And then of course the fish reminded him of Lana, which you knew was going to happen, that once Lana came out, she was going to stick Summer Rae's face in that fish, which she was trying to keep her face off that fish so bad. She had her hands in front of her face like, no, 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 no. I'm not touching this damn thing. Where are my hands? That's it.
I think Summer Rae has really been the person who's benefited from this the most, because we haven't seen her that much since her whole little thing with Fandango fell apart. And so I've enjoyed seeing more of her, and I think it's been good that they've given her more of a, even though she's just playing mini Lana, I think it's great they've given her more of a presence on the show. It was fine. I liked the dog part. It was kind of funny. The dog was super cute too, but yeah, it was fine.
At first, I didn't think they had a leash on that dog, and I was like, oh my goodness, don't, you're going to have a problem here. That dog's going to get loose. Even with the leash, I thought the dog was going to get loose there for a second, and then I was like, oh man, that dog is going to get so nervous.
It's just going to pee.
It's just going to pee all over everyone. Now, if it was your dog, it would have peed on everybody.
If it was my dog, he would have peed on you, but
which he has done. Right. I guess they got lucky with that dog. I really thought that dog was going to get loose there for a second. You know, the show went by pretty quick overall. I mean, they had the opening segment. And we'll get into SummerSlam in just a minute. But Big Show against Dean Ambrose actually wasn't too bad either.
Yeah, it was fine.
Fine. And Big Show got the win by count out. So Ambrose kept getting knocked out of the ring, hit with bigger move and bigger move and bigger move until finally he got thrown back in and had enough energy to go for a dive, and he got hit with the knockout punch. So he was out. But then after the match, Show tried to ram him through the barricade, and guess what? Didn't work.
Yep. I mean, again, big moves, big spots.
Big Show went right through the barricade, missed Ambrose. So You know, I mean, for what it was, I mean, it actually went about 11 minutes. I was surprised they gave that much time. And by the way, how about the trademark shirt for Dean Ambrose? Gone. He was wearing a regular t-shirt that got ripped off.
Nice. I still look at those jeans he wears. Remember he told us where he buys his jeans?
Yeah, man.
Those things, they fit him well. These are some nice jeans.
Tight-fitting jeans. One more thing I want to talk about the show. Well, two things. I like the Bray Wyatt promo a lot. I know that a lot of people say sometimes with Bray, like he has these weird, eerie promos that kind of get off the tracks. But I like what he did here just from the standpoint that he told a weird story, but it all came around tying in when Luke Harper was back in the fold. And then he went out of his way to say, I'm coming for you, Roman Reigns. And by the way, Dean Ambrose, you know, that means we're coming for you too. And if Reigns says you're part of the family, then he's not doing you any favors and he's putting you in danger.
Yeah. What, I mean,
great reaction there, buddy.
I just,
that's
it was
the best in the business.
That's why they call me commentator of the year over here. Match of the year commentator. This is the podcast of the year, baby.
Yes.
I just don't have that strong of feelings about it. I think he did his thing. And I think that people have started to kind of grow old, grow tired of what he comes out and does every week with his promos, because they are kind of this vague, weird thing. I still like him. But again, the lights go down, you have your fireflies around, and the promos are what they are. We know where they're going. I think bringing the Wyatt family back together has been a great idea. Luke Harper being there. I think they need a third person. I hope they do something interesting with that. So, but yeah, Bray Wyatt. He is what he is.
Do you think they're bringing in Sting to make that a 6-man tag at SummerSlam?
That's what the rumor is, right? And then there was this crazy rumor that came up yesterday from probably one of those news with these sites that said that they were going to turn Adam Rose into Leo Kruger and bring him up as a third Wyatt family member. Did you hear about that?
I did not hear that one.
There was some crazy rumor that broke. People said, yeah, they're going to turn Adam Rose into Leo Kruger and he's going to debut as a third member of the Wyatt family.
Hmm.
I don't think it makes much sense. I think Bo Dallas is a good fit there. But
well, maybe that's why Bo's off TV, so he can grow out the beard.
Yeah. He's going to look like Psych Spock, like a Mirror Universe Bo Dallas.
That would be fantastic. That would be great. Here's another thing I want to bring up, okay? So on Raw, they replayed a segment from Tough Enough last week where Big Show was chopping the men on Tough Enough. There was some people that are of the opinion that Show should not have been chopping them because they don't know how to sell, so that exposes the business. And then on Raw, that's the one segment that they decided to replay from Tough Enough. They didn't replay the entire segment, but they showed him handing out a few chops. I have mixed feelings about that because we know in this day and age about the business, but at the same time, I don't think we want to be hit over the head on TV saying, hey, look at this. It really hurts, but at the same time, you know, this is what we do, and you know, like Tanner didn't even sell it last week, and he's the smallest of the guys. You know, Patrick did sell it. I think Josh on that show sold it a little bit. And ZZ, he sold it because he was really hurting.
Because ZZ is a tool.
Not only from the chop, but also because his undershirt, and yes, he was wearing a spandex undershirt, got ripped apart by Big Show before he delivered the chop.
Oh, ZZ. Oh, that crazy ZZ, always out there doing crazy stuff on TV.
Did you have a problem with them, whole chopping the guys?
I didn't. No. Okay. No, it didn't bother me any. It is one of those things where the guys that don't sell it, they're just trying to act tough because it's tough enough, and it still looks cool. And that segment went by so fast when they replayed it on Raw that it's the Big Show doing something with those guys, and it's a recognizable moment. That move is so iconic for him now that, whatever.
So SummerSlam now is supersized. It's the WrestleMania of the summer, 4 hours. I think the immediate reaction from a lot of fans wasn't like, yay, cool, we're getting another hour. It's kind of like, oh, no, we're getting another hour.
That's what my wife said. She's like, oh, no, SummerSlam's 4 hours, and you're going. And I was like, no, I think that's cool, right? That's a good – I don't know. I'm down with it.
I'm fine with it. I mean, what I want to know is, does that mean they're going to have – bigger introductions, bigger entrances like they do at WrestleMania? Maybe not to that scale, but they'll be bigger than what they normally are?
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't matter to me. All I'm hoping for is that The Undertaker gets a good entrance, because his one at WrestleMania was fine, but it was still daylight outside and it kind of ruined the ambiance. And I'm due.
I don't know if I told you this yet. I don't know if I should really expose this, but fingers crossed, we're in the running for being druids for Undertaker's entrance at SummerSlam.
Well, what do you mean?
They need druids for when he comes out. You know, the people that are holding the and everything.
So how do we apply for that?
I've already taken care of that. We're in the running for it. We might be druids for Undertaker's entrance.
Now you're lying to me. Quit lying to me. That'd be awesome. But
hey, that's one of the things I've always wanted to be before he retires. I also wanted to be the bunny for Adam Rose, but
this is going
to
be one of your last chances then, buddy. You better
hope it happens. I know it is. This and WrestleMania next year. That could be it.
I'll bulk up, man. I'll put on some more muscle mass and that'll be ready.
Druid, you don't need that. You just got to be able to stand still, hold that torch.
I'm marching band expert. I mean, I stand at attention. I'm ready.
Hey, man, I did marching band as well back in the day, man. Hey, I was the guy with the big bass drum, so I was in the back of the whole line. The drum literally went from like my knees to about my nose, so I could barely see over it.
Didn't they just bang the drumstick on your head? Doesn't have the same effect.
No,
burn. Oh,
wow,
because you're dumb. Get it? Because it's saying that I'm saying you're dumb. You don't have anything in your head that sounds like a big bass drum. See, it's funny because it's true.
Keep going. I'm just gonna put the focus on you here, so you keep going. Okay.
Don't we need to get to some questions or whatever? Raw, more stuff on that. We're running out of time. So on that note, we'll see you guys. On that note, we'll see you guys next week on BetweenTheRopes.com podcasting stuff. Cheers. All right. Wrestling. It's great. It's awesome. I love it.
I'll accept your apology now for your bad joke.
I'm sorry that I called you out.
That's not the apology I was looking for.
I'm sorry that you are easy to make fun of. I'm just kidding, man. You know,
Real,
my brother.
Mm-hmm. See? Yeah, we'll see who's going to SummerSlam now. So we already know, obviously, it's going to be Undertaker against Brock Lesnar. Seth Rollins against John Cena. It hasn't officially been announced, but that's going to happen. I think here's the other matches. We mentioned some of these last week. It looks like it's going to be Cesaro against Kevin Owens. We're going to get another Sheamus-Randy Orton match, which is really going to be the only real repeater match. It's been going on a lot.
Do you think they could do something where they drop the United States title to one of those four men and do a four-way match for the title?
They could, but with SummerSlam now being 4 hours, I think it's going to be two singles matches. Okay. I think we're going to see a tag match between those two teams next week on Raw.
Okay.
Let's see. What else they could do? A Divas match, which I would like to see a triple threat for the title, but I think it's going to be a 9-woman tag match.
So you think the title won't even be defended? I think they'll do two matches. I think they'll do two Divas matches. One of them will be for the title.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Charlotte versus Bray.
What if they did? They could do it. Well, the way that I would do it is I would do a triple threat. I would have Nikki against Sasha against Charlotte. Okay. And then you could have the other women involved in a tag match. So it'd be 2-on-2-on-2.
Does that still work with Alicia Fox being injured?
If she's healthy by then.
Okay. Gotcha.
So they could do that. I don't like the idea of the 9-woman tag. And I don't even really like that 3-team tag, but maybe that's going to happen. But I tend to believe they're going to do the 9-woman tag, but I could easily be wrong.
They got to give them some way to spotlight it. They got to give the Divas at least one spotlight match if they're serious about this Divas revolution.
Well, let me ask you this, okay? Say they put the title on the line. Which of the NXT women that just got brought up do you think is most likely to win the title?
Charlotte. They love her. They freaking love her.
I would say Sasha Banks.
Okay. But Sasha Banks doesn't make any sense against Brie. It doesn't. I don't think that
against
works.
Nikki?
Yeah, I mean against Nikki.
Why doesn't it?
Because she's a heel.
No, but I mean, say they do the triple threat match.
Okay.
Say she wins it there.
So do you unify those titles?
Unify what title? Oh, the NXT. No, because Sasha's losing the NXT championship to Bayley at the show before SummerSlam.
That's true. Okay.
Oh, and by the way, somebody else. So Big Cass and Enzo, or they worked WWE house show this past weekend. So I even threw it out there on Twitter during Raw saying, hey, you know what? Maybe they could debut. Somebody pointed out to me, very smartly so, I wish I knew who it was, say, no, they'll probably debut the night after SummerSlam because the show's going to be in Barclays, Brooklyn. So it makes a lot of sense for that act to debut, you know, at that event. And it'll be a hot show too. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it makes a lot of sense if it's going to happen there. And they're going to be monster stars that weekend being up in Brooklyn.
Yep. Yep. I think that's a good spot for them. And I think it gives them a little bit more breathing room. And I think that'll be a good time to reset the tag team division after whatever happens at SummerSlam with this multi-man match, whatever they're doing.
Right. And they'll have a tag team match on that show too. And by the way, if Sasha Banks, I'm saying she wins it and then she feuds with Charlotte. I think that would be a direction to go.
Okay. So. Fair enough.
Cool. Well, let's get a couple plugs in here really quick, you know, and want to thank everybody again that's supporting us on Patreon. Big props to you. We always appreciate it. If you haven't done it yet, please check us out on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/between the ropes. If you can support us there, that would be fantastic. Even for $1 a month, it goes a long way in helping us pay the bills and keep doing what we're doing. Even if you can't support us there, please support us on YouTube by subscribing to us there or on iTunes, Stitcher, and checking out betweentheropes.com and following us on Twitter. But if you can help us on Patreon, that'll be fantastic. In fact, we have some different tiers that are set up. So you get different things for the different amounts that you pledge. This past week, we got to give a lot of credit to Bob Gerken, who is now supporting us to the tune of $1 a month. So thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. And to everybody else that's supporting us out there, fantastic. One of the things we have set up is if it's for $15 a month or more, we're going to have an exclusive Google Hangout. And we've got a couple people that are going to be a part of that. So we're going to be doing that probably later this week, in fact. So we've got that set up, and you can check out the different tiers on the website. And $25 a month, we'll hook you up with a T-shirt, plus we'll follow you on all your different modes of social media, plus you'll be part of the exclusive chat. And we've got some other tiers set up. So just check it out on Patreon. If you can support us there, that would be great, and we definitely appreciate that. And also every week now, if you're supporting us on Patreon, guess what? We're doing a giveaway. And we've got different things to give away. I've got some DVDs, plus I've got some pristine condition Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines from the 80s. And I'm willing to part ways with these. So
they're pretty sweet. I've seen them. They're pretty awesome.
We will hook people up that you can tell me who you're a big fan of and who you'd like to see on the cover. And I can get you one of the magazines that I have, because I have about 100 of them. So, and I'm willing to give them away. So, we just need to pick a winner.
All right. Who's it going to be this week, Brian? WrestleMania hat. No numbered because WrestleMania is not numbered anymore. And, you know, I'm going to shuffle. Got my hand in here. And number 7.
Number 7.
See right there? That's a 7. It's a 7. It's one number. So
that would be DeMarc Jennings.
DeMarc Jennings. You're our lucky winner this week. Congratulations.
Thank you, DeMarc. We appreciate it, buddy. So we'll be getting in touch with you, and we'll hook you up with something. And if you want to be eligible to win every week, all you got to do is support us on Patreon.
Also, you should follow me on Twitter, @TheRealWiseman.
So. Sure. Before we get to some questions, I also want to bring this thing up too, okay? Not trying to be mean, but with everything that is going on, do you still feel compelled as a wrestling fan, if you're watching before, to still watch TNA?
No.
It's getting tougher and tougher. Now, I know they're busy doing these tapings this week. They're doing also these one-night-only tapings to where now they're going to be set up for like 8 months in advance, which I'm not even kidding. I mean, it's like months and months down the line that they're already taping these things for. I'm getting the sense, you know, we all believe that they're going to be off Destination America come the end of September. So I think the only time that TNA could be running shows in the United States is when they're doing TV tapings at Universal Studios and doing the one night onlys. They are doing the Bound for Glory pay-per-view in your neck of the woods in Charlotte coming up in October. Mm-hmm. But I think that'll be it. Everything else that they run is probably going to be overseas shows because they've got the UK tour that's still on tap for January, but major problems, man. I mean, they just brought back Bully Ray to be the enforcer. They advertised him. And then right before the tapings, he said, you know what? I don't like what's going on. I changed my mind. And he wasn't under contract. So he's gone. So now they have a different enforcer. I won't say who it is, even though we do know who it is. They've also been doing some stuff with Global Force Wrestling. It's going to be difficult to keep up with everything they're doing. They're doing so many different tapings. And they're actually doing tapings. They started in the middle of last week. They took Sunday off, but they're doing tapings through Thursday, I believe. So they are filming a ton of stuff.
I mean, here's how I feel about it. I'm very excited about Global Force Wrestling and what it's going to offer to wrestling fans. They're doing a show here in Winston-Salem, August 14th, in the ballpark, that I'm planning on going to. They've announced a partnership with WrestleCade. So something like that will be happening. I'm going to WrestleCade in November, right here in Winston-Salem. TNA.
You're going to WrestleCade, you say? So am I.
What? Maybe I'll see you there.
Maybe.
TNA is doing its biggest show of the year, its WrestleMania show, literally an hour from my front door. And I don't think I'm going to go at this point. That's how I feel about TNA right now.
Yeah, it's just I'm not wishing them bad luck. It's just they've become irrelevant.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the things that they're doing, you know, their tapings, when you're hearing some of the different reports, just all over the place. It looks like Matt Hardy's going to continue to be the number one contender for the title, but you look at TNA was supposed to be a place where you develop younger stars back in the day. And now I think Matt Hardy's a great talent, but he's not young. And that's who they have as their major challenger. Maybe it's going to be Jeff Hardy. He's another guy that has got some name recognition, but he's not young. The only other guy that I could think of that's not named Kurt Angle that can actually be someone I could see contending for the world title that would make sense would be Drew Galloway. But outside of that, I look at even people that can contend for their world title, and I think it's few and far between. I think they're doing they've always done some hokey stuff, but they're really getting hokey. I'll give away one thing that's happening at the spoiler. So they've set up a match between Eric Young and Chris Melendez, the wounded warrior who lost one of his legs in combat. The stipulation for the match, though, is if Eric Young wins, he gets Melendez's prosthetic leg. What?
What? What?
Yeah, that they are actually doing that gimmick match where I get your leg if I beat you.
Like, is he going to beat him with his leg? I don't understand. No,
he gets the leg. Now, I don't know if Melendez has another one like on standby or could he
on standby because it's his leg. I get it.
I didn't even think about that. or could he just simply order another one? I'm not saying that they're cheap, but that is a stipulation for the match. So it's really getting wacky there, to say the least. And here's another thing too. So obviously Destination America is airing Ring of Honor as the lead-in for TNA on Wednesday nights and then Impact Wrestling. Ring of Honor is no longer going to be the lead-in. They were on at 8 o'clock Eastern, followed by TNA for 2 hours and Ring of Honor again. So now Destination America is replacing, at least for 2 weeks, but I think it's going to be permanent, replacing Ring of Honor in the 8 o'clock time slot. They're putting on like their Bigfoot show and something else to see if the ratings will be different. So Ring of Honor is only going to be on 11 o'clock Eastern. So now instead of being a lead-in for TNA, they're only going to be following up after TNA. Ring of Honor's contract with Destination America ends in November. I think come the end of November, Destination America will be out of the wrestling business and they will not be airing TNA or Ring of Honor.
So why did they partner up with Ring of Honor for this short time?
That's a very good question. They thought that You know, it's really not damaging Destination America from a standpoint that they're not paying Ring of Honor anything, from what I understand.
Okay.
It's just they thought, hey, these two together, we'll see what kind of ratings they do. And if it doesn't go well, we'll just drop them. It's an experiment that we're doing for 6 months.
Weird. Weird.
It is weird.
The Wednesday Night Wars, already over. Documentary in the history of the WWE Network.
Yeah. Well, let's get to some questions.
All right. We got 7 minutes. Answer them fast.
Make it happen.
I'm working on it, brother. It's the internet's fault. It's running slow today. All of it.
Always blaming the internet.
Yep. If you've got questions in the chat room, reach out. Let us know.
You having trouble finding questions?
I'm having trouble loading Facebook. So I think Facebook is down. I think that's the problem, is Facebook is down and Mark Zuckerberg is chilling out.
Hold on.
All right. Jim Mills. Jim Mills writes in on facebook.com/in the ropes. Is Sasha Banks the top diva heel, and will she win the WWE Divas title before WrestleMania? Are you sticking to your prediction that she wins it at SummerSlam?
Might as well. If the Divas title is on the line then, which I'm not even sure is going to happen, is she the biggest heel right now? They're trying to build her that way, but depending on what week it is, probably Nikki Bella is the biggest heel just because she's been on the main roster longer and she has the championship. But it just depends on how you look at her. Is she a heel or is she not?
Yeah, I think I don't see her winning it. If I still say this, I'm stick to my guns here. Charlotte is the first NXT of this new batch of NXT women that came up. I think she's the first one to win the Divas title. And I don't think Sasha Banks wins it before WrestleMania.
Okay.
Next question. Ratnick wants to know, in the chat room, are they going to do Seth versus Triple H at Mania? And who would be the heel?
Oh, Triple H would be the heel.
You think they're going to turn Seth babyface?
Well, I don't know if they're going to do that match.
WrestleMania, you got some time to build it.
Sooner or later, they will turn Seth, and I think he will be the babyface. Well, see, here's the weird thing, too, okay? Go back to Raw last week. The Authority, they seemed like babyfaces, didn't they? Like, out of nowhere. Suddenly, they're baby faces. They're setting up this great main event of Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker. What business? It's a rematch we've all been waiting to see. 17 months in the making, right? And then this week, they're heels again.
Yeah, it was weird. Yep.
It's like, make up your mind. I mean, it's like the Bellas. It's a whole argument. Hey, you know what? Whatever happened a couple weeks ago, even a week ago, everybody won't remember that. They'll forget about that. It's okay. It's about what's going on right now. It's what's going on tonight.
Yep. It was weird. In fact, there for a brief moment, I thought they were going to make that WWE World Heavyweight title match, and that would have cemented them as baby faces, but didn't happen. All right. Next question. Eric Jacinto writes in, hey guys, from the number one super fan, Eric. So with WWE cutting prices on pay-per-views for non-subscribers, what does that mean? Is this for a few months or what? Is it a bad sign for the WWE that the network isn't what they wanted it to be? Are they not getting enough subscribers? And what made them do this?
Well, they haven't done it yet, but there's discussion that what they might do is if you're a non-subscriber to the network, you can get that month's pay-per-view for $4.99 on the network. So I think it's just another reason to get people to spend money with WWE and get on the network. And it would just be for that show. It would just be able to watch it live. But it's just another way to say, okay, if you don't want to spend the $9.99 a month and you're only interested in the pay-per-views, well, guess what? You don't even have to spend $9.99 a month to watch that pay-per-view. You can spend $4.99. So it's not something that they've instituted, but it's something that they've talked about.
I think that's a bad plan. I feel like
I think it's a bad plan too, because I understand they're trying to get more people in there and spend more money. But I think there's gonna be some people that say, "Wait a second, I've been spending $10 a month, and my main thing is just watching the pay per view. So I'll switch and I'll go down to $5."
You're hurting your value add, and I think that's the problem: is you're taking away value rather than adding value. And so, in my mind, what they should do is over the course of time, do what Netflix did: raise the price of the network to around $12 per month. And then you could offer pay-per-views at $8 per month by themselves, but that's a big undercut. I hope they don't do that. And I still think WrestleMania and SummerSlam should be separate offerings from the WWE Network. But what do I know? I'm just podcaster of the year. Francis writes in, ask BTR, do you think by the end of the year we see Eva Marie as the next women's champion? No, Francis. Have you been watching Swerved on the network?
No, I have not.
Nope. And do you think we will see Jeff Jarrett at the next TNA tapings or at Bound for Glory?
Yes, on both accounts. He's at the TNA tapings. He was there last night. He will be there probably tonight.
Come on, and Francis.
He will be at Bound for Glory.
Give us some hardball questions, man. Give us some hardball questions. We got a lot of questions coming out of the chat room today.
By the way, people, be nicer in the chat room to one another. I had to ban somebody earlier. Please be nice.
Oh, who'd you? Oh, that's sad. Oh, well, I want to ask you who it was.
I don't even remember, but I had to delete the post and ban the person because it was not nice to say the
it
least.
It was inappropriate, huh?
Very.
We have time for about two more questions, I think. If we can do them a question a minute. Christian Piazza writes in, question, will Sting make his return at SummerSlam interfere with the Lesnar vs. Undertaker match, setting up their match at WrestleMania?
They're not having a match at WrestleMania. We will never see the Undertaker against Sting.
God, you're breaking my heart, buddy. You're breaking
my
heart.
I'm just laying down the facts, man. Bam! Someone's got to do it. If it's not me, it's going to be somebody else. No, The belief is that Vince McMahon is not interested in that match. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but it looks extremely unlikely. If Vince just is not interested in that match, and if Sting is going to be in the ring at SummerSlam, it'll be part of that six-man tag with the Wyatts and teaming up with Reigns and Ambrose.
Who is this jabroni? People keep stealing our name. In the Ropes show. What the? Get off of YouTube, whoever you are. Jabroni Amateur Hour over here. Okay. Francis asked a good question here. A few people have asked it too. What are we more likely to see? Hogan back in WWE or China in the Hall of Fame?
Ooh. Either.
Ooh.
Either.
That's a devilish question.
That's not an either or. That's a neither. They're not touching either anytime soon. And then you know what? When that day comes and they put DX in, they ain't putting in China with her.
I think this is a good question, and we're going to end on this note. I think it's a good place to kind of wrap things up today. I feel like Mr. Rogers, we're going to wrap things up today in a really positive manner. Sure.
That's why you went in with that question about China.
Right. No, this is our last question. No, this is it. Okay. Sharon writes in, my question for the Q&A, Michael, is when Seth Rollins loses the title at SummerSlam, what grade would you give his title reign?
Well, what would you say?
I think it's been appropriate for the kind of character he's been playing. And he's had some pretty good matches. I think that Brock Lesnar match is a huge besmirch on everything he's done since WrestleMania and on that pay-per-view.
That's not
as
his
a whole.
Fault, though.
That's true. I would give it a B. I think he's had some high-profile matches, and he's played his character well. But I don't know, his title reign, he's not won very many of those matches. So,
well, I would say, I was going to say B+. Because I think that Seth has done the best that he can, and I think he's won a lot of people over. But at the same time, it's just the opportunities he's been given, and there's going to be some people that don't think he's a strong champion. I don't think that's necessarily because of stuff that he's done. I think he's done a great job, and he's won some people over, and I think he's surprised some people with everything that he's done. So I'll give it a B+.
Okay. Fair enough. And on that note, B+.
Yes. On that note, you are a B+.
Thank you. I appreciate it, buddy.
There you go. So we're going to wrap things up, but we do appreciate everybody for joining us. Please make sure you check us out on BetweenTheRopes.com. Subscribe to us here on YouTube. And please like us, share us, and comment on our videos here. And you can also subscribe to us, the audio-only version of this show, as well as some other podcasts. You can do that by going on iTunes or on Stitcher. You can find those links also on BetweenTheRopes.com. And please, if you can, support us on Patreon. We'll really appreciate it for everybody that's doing it. Many thanks to you out there. So thanks again to Michael Wiseman. Of course, I'm Brian Fritz. And thanks for joining us again this week for Between the Ropes. Talk to you later.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.